For Illinois Edition, I'm Rachel Otwell. Dean Olson is health reporter for Springfield's State Journal Register. His recent reports include the issue of a lack of funding for autism programs and the fact some surgeons are asking for partial payments from patients up front since the state has not been adequately covering its part. He'll explain that and more in this conversation. He begins talking about the challenges that come up with trying to find out what the extent of the consequences of the budget impasse have been for patients and doctors across the state.
The challenge in covering healthcare and human services and how they're affected by this state budget crisis is that there are so many providers, and the cuts are affecting different agencies and different organizations in different ways. And so it's not like if the schools all close at one time, everybody knows that. Or if state workers don't get paid on time, everybody knows that. And that's a major story. But when you're dealing with thousands of social service agencies and hundreds of hospitals all making decisions, cutting programs, making layoffs, not even announcing it often to the public. So the public and the news media often doesn't find out about this unless we ask or unless they tell us. And then we're reporting it on a one-shot basis or whenever we hear about it. So I think that's the challenge of conveying the importance of the state budget crisis and how it's affecting human services and medical services in the state. It's affecting people in a lot of different ways, but it's also affecting people in organizations that have less of a voice. They have less bargaining power. They have less lobbying power. They're poor. They don't tend to vote, even many of the recipients. And so they can often be ignored. There are advocates of them in the state house and across the state, but their voice is not generally as strong as some others.
So are there any certain areas that are particularly at risk that you have been able to pick up on?
Well, we've written about the autism program in Springfield, and that the program is based in Springfield at Hope Institute for Children and Families. And we've seen a consistent cutting that's happened at the Hope Institute. They went almost an entire fiscal year with no funding, and that funding is not coming back. They had to cease services for almost all Medicaid recipients in the previous fiscal year, and they're only now starting to reinstate that. But the programs that serve kids with autism in Springfield and statewide have been so devastated by cuts that it's hard for them to rebuild the services for the people in most need. They're serving people who have private insurance. And now because they've gotten some money through the stopgap budget, it's hard to immediately begin serving those people because many of the personnel are helping people who are privately insured. So in Springfield, that's one major area that we've seen cut.
The Autism Program of Illinois, just generally, what is that?
It's a program that has facilities and buildings and personnel in Springfield and many other parts of the state, Chicago, Peoria, Champaign, Rockford. And what they do is they educate parents and teachers about kids with autism, how best to serve them. They help diagnose kids with autism, and that's really important because early diagnosis and early treatment, we know through studies so far, is the most effective for actually helping the kids get back to an even keel and succeed later. It's been shown in studies that when you delay this treatment, it means that they're going to need more special ed services as they get into the school system, which means it's more expensive on the back end, and they're more likely to fail in school, need welfare support later. So an early investment in them has been shown to be the most wise investment.
And so the story talks about what's called ABA therapy, which Illinois coverage was already an issue, according to advocates. Tell us more a little bit about the coverage and what that is as well.
Applied behavior analysis therapy is a type of one-on-one, generally, therapy with young, very young children that has been proven to be effective in helping them to become more communicative, to help with their behaviors, to help with their intellectual development. The thing is that it's very expensive, and Medicaid in Illinois does not cover it. In many other states, it does cover ABA therapy, but in Illinois, it does not. The autism program has tried through its state funding for years to serve parents at discounted rates if they are eligible for Medicaid. Of course, the autism program isn't getting paid for that, but it's getting funding through other sources. And so the autism program has tried to serve those parents. The glitch is this. In Springfield, we recently had a situation where one of the Medicaid managed care companies was agreeing to cover ABA therapy, but it recently pulled out of the market because it was losing money overall on Medicaid managed care. And so the other services do not, the other companies that serve managed care Medicaid patients do not cover this. And so those parents are a little bit in the lurch now because they can't afford this therapy. It can be out-of-pocket private pay can be thousands of dollars per month. It's hundreds of dollars per month, even subsidized, so it's not cheap.
I'm Rachel Otwell, and I'm speaking with Dean Olson, who is health reporter for Springfield's State Journal Register. Tell us more about the fact that the Alzheimer's Association of Illinois, groups such as that anyway, advocates say it's been a long time now that funding, at least the amount of funding they'd like to see, has been lacking, and then funding period has been uncertain.
Right after Governor Rauner was inaugurated, a few months after that, funding for part of their yearly grant was suspended, and then it was reinstated all of a sudden. And so they have never really seen the level of funding that they believed was necessary and policymakers agreed was necessary to help them adequately set up a system of diagnosing and treating these kids across the state. And so they originally were promised or $10 million a year in annual grant funding. Well, they never got that. It was more like half of that or less. And so since Rauner has been in office, he's proposed to zero out their budget. I think it was more a situation where the governor, it's not that the governor didn't support funding for this. It's just that he said, we can't afford this. You know, we can't afford this. This was part of his stress to the lawmakers and the democratically controlled House and Senate that something needed to be done to get the state's fiscal house in order. And their position, the Republican governor's position all along has been that once we get the house, fiscal house in order, we can best serve these people in need.
You had one Democratic legislator tell you that he's interested in adding autism coverage, perhaps introducing some legislation for that. Can you tell us more about that?
Representative Greg Harris, who is also a point person for the Democrats in negotiating a permanent budget, he's chairman of the House Appropriations Human Services Committee, a Democrat from Chicago. He supports expanding Medicaid to cover autism services, specifically ABA therapy, and he's planning to introduce a bill to get it covered. Now, the caveat to that is that while we have all this turmoil in the state, should we add anything to the budget right now when we can't even pay our bills and we don't have taxes enough to fund everything that we want to pay for. In addition to that, you have activity going on in Congress and Washington, D.C., where the new president-elect, Trump, and Republicans in Congress are considering making Medicaid, rather than a open-ended entitlement program, make it a grant-funded program where there would be block grants to each state. And that would give a lot more latitude to the states on what they use Medicaid for, and it would also tend to cap the funding. So it would also cap the federal reimbursement. So this could lead to a lot of cuts because in Illinois, we have one of the lower reimbursement rates. We get reimbursed 50%. A lot of states get higher reimbursement rates. So there's a lot of concern on what block granting could do for all Medicaid services.
And just to kind of wrap up, some of the points that that came through with your report on the autism program of Illinois, you profiled the story of a young girl who went through some of the therapy that advocates are saying is so necessary. Just tell us, you know, a synopsis of her story.
The little girl's name is Finley Schroeder, and she is 4 years old from Springfield, and she's benefited a lot from over the past 2 years from getting ABA therapy. Her mother believes that this has really been key to keeping her on track academically. She's a little behind still. She receives special services at her school. She's attending pre-kindergarten, but the mom is nervous because Finley's going to be entering kindergarten and has, like every parent, high hopes and hopes that her daughter will be able to be independent, get a job, go to college, all of these things that every parent wants for their kids, and not to have them supported by public aid programs and to be as independent as possible. And so her plea to policymakers is just consider all these ramifications of the political wrangling. Consider all of these low-income folks and needy folks who are kind of the collateral damage of the budget crisis and the political bickering. And so she's basically saying, get the job done. Don't worry about these long-term ideological programs that you want to get implemented, Governor Rauner. Just settle a budget. That's basically been her view.
I'm Rachel Otwell. This is Illinois Edition. I'm speaking with reporter for Springfield State Journal Register, Dean Olson. He covers healthcare. We were talking about his recent story on funding for autism programming, the lack of that funding due to the budget impasse in part. We'll link to that story at illinoisedition.org. Dean, another recent story I wanted to talk to you about has to do with an orthopedic center requiring now that patients help pay upfront for surgery. Explain what's going on with this.
We've gotten a lot of reports over the past year or two that many dentists are asking for all the payment upfront from state workers and others insured through the state workers' health plan. But now we're starting to see medical providers have more aggressive tactics because they are owed thousands and even millions of dollars in backlogged bills. And so the Orthopedic Center of Illinois is a Springfield-based group of about 15, 16 orthopedic surgeons. And just recently, they have started to tell the people employed through the state and with certain plans that because of these backlogs, we're going to have to ask you to pay half of the surgeon's bill before we will do any cutting or any surgery. And this is interesting because half is generally more than the patient would ever have to pay even with their share. So they're being asked to pay the state share as well as the employee's share. And so I had one worker complaining to me about that. She's going to still try to scrimp up the money. It's thousands of dollars. And Orthopedic Center of Illinois is saying that they will refund the difference, any overpayment, once they get paid. But it's interesting because if that happens more and more, you have state workers who are actually becoming, in a sense, a lending institution for the state of Illinois to help bridge the gap for the payment delays, which is sort of ironic.
So any other areas, you know, where this could, if somebody's going to get their regular physical or going to the gynecologist or something, are you hearing that this could be happening kind of across the board?
No, we have not heard that. And I'm thinking I probably would hear, because Springfield in a lot of ways is a big little town. But we know that would be very unpopular. The medical providers really want to preserve the doctor-patient relationship. Generally, they hate to do these things because they know that patients don't have a lot of money for these upfront payments, and so they hate to do that, and I think they're trying their best to delay that. A lot of the larger groups we have in town have a certain amount of cash flow. Both the hospitals and the big medical practices have a certain amount of cash flow where they can hang on, but we know that Places like Springfield Clinic have delayed construction. So has Memorial Medical Center. They've delayed maintenance. So they've done what they can to not affect patients so far. Springfield Clinic, by the way, did take the step recently of starting to bill patients right after services. They're not billing them up front, but they used to wait for the state to pay, and then they would bill the patient for their share. Well, now Springfield Clinic is billing patients for their share, not more than their share, but right away. So that's a change. And the clinic knows that that's might be unpopular with patients as well. I mean, because not a lot of people feel sorry for doctors. We know that they are earning very good salaries. They work hard for their money, and they've gone to school for a long time. But the doctor-patient relationship is something that everybody wants to preserve. But now these financial issues are kind of coming in the way of that.